You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, a day without Latinos, a Senate race without Congressman Sean Duffy, and more. That's coming up in our weekly roundup of Wisconsin news.
First, it's Food Friday. You may not think you know what choux pastry is, but if you've ever enjoyed a delicious eclair or even better, a Wisconsin State Fair cream puff, you've experienced the wonder of choux-style pastry making.
And while those sweet uses for choux are enough to get excited about, there are also great savory recipes that use the light and puffy pastry as well. Lori Skelton is a classical music host at WPR and one of our in-house foodies. We asked her to tackle choux pastry this month, and she's here to share her results. Lori, good to have you back.
It's good to be back on this topic.
So choux, C-H-O-U-X.
Correct.
Give us a primer on where this pastry comes from.
The story goes that it was created by one of Catherine de' Medici's chefs in around 1540. And the idea of making a pastry that you have to cook in a saucepan on the stove before you bake it, it got refined and refined over the years. And then in the 18th century, one pastry chef created a little bun that looked like a cabbage, which is choux in French.
Mm.
And that's where the choux pastry came up. That's where the name has come up with. The person who really codified it for this century and beyond was Anton Carême in the 19th century, one of the grand cuisine innovators in France. But as you noted, it's a pastry that's well-loved in Wisconsin, French or not.
Now, when I eat a cream puff at the state fair, I'm thinking, all right, I'm lying. I don't think I just eat it. But when I think back on it, it's like this light, fluffy pastry. And, you know, usually you think yeast and it rises to make something fluffy. That does not enter the picture, right?
No. This is when you cook your pastry on the stove, I call it actually a paste rather than a pastry when you're working with it on the stove. You start off with a liquid and butter, which you'll bring to a boil, and then you dump flour into that, and just like you have to cook out the flour with a roux, mm-hmm. you have to spend about 3 minutes stirring this on the stove so that the flour will actually cook. You then take it off the heat, and you beat in a lot of egg. I mean a lot of egg. And
do you hand beat, or do you use electric?
You can do it either way. If you're going to try this for the first time, I would actually recommend that you start by hand beating so you get to know what this pastry feels like. And so that the eggs don't cook, you pull this off the heat, give it a chance to cool down, and then you add your eggs a little bit at a time. And it's going to scare you at first because as you start beating in the egg, it's going to fall to pieces. It's going to look like absolutely slimy Play-Doh. Just keep beating it, beating it, beating it. It will eventually come together, pull away from the sides of the pan, and form this nice ball of firm, pipeable pastry dough.
And then you're ultimately going to, well, you can do different things with it because you tried, we'll get into the specific things. You can bake it. You can also fry it.
I'm sorry, to finish up your question, what makes it puff up in the oven?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. What makes it puff up in the oven?
All of that water, all of that liquid in from all of the egg and then the water in the dough. You're going to start your pastry at a very high heat in the oven, at least 400 degrees, if not higher. That's going to create steam, and that's going to make it puff. Then you'll drop your oven temperature slightly, maybe to go from 400 to 350, and finish baking it, and that will give you the crispy shell. You then take your pastry out of the oven, poke a little hole in it so the steam can escape, so it won't get soggy. It will continue to crisp up once you've turned the oven off, and it will dry out that way. And then, yes, you can fry it as well. If you fry choux pastry, you're going to get the French version of a cruller, or you'll get what they call a beignet in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also make a brandade, where you combine soft fish, like cod or poached salmon. You combine that with potatoes and oil, and then you can mix that in with the choux pastry and actually get a savory beignet that you can deep fry. And then a similar technique, although you don't use eggs, it's the batter for churros, which I know a lot of people really enjoy eating. And we actually tried a version that showed up on the Great British Bake Off last year. And this one had coconut flour in it. So I decided to go gluten-free on this and use half coconut flour, half all-purpose gluten-free baking flour. And one of the things we discovered, the reason that churros are piped with a star tip on your piping bag, you want those ridges to be able to get a little bit extra crispy in the fryer and also to be able to hang on to whatever spices or sugar you sprinkle on the outside. But again, it's the same idea with churros batter. You're going to start your batter, your pastry, your paste on the stove. Same principle, only you don't have eggs with this, but you do cook it on the stove. You beat it, beat it, beat it until it pulls away from the pan and forms a firm ball of paste that, again, you can pipe out into interesting shapes. And usually with churros, you end up dipping them in lovely, interesting things.
Like chocolate.
Like chocolate. Cinnamon sugar is the traditional thing you roll them in and then you dunk them in chocolate.
But hot chocolate, too, is very good, yes.
But and that's the neat thing about puff or about choux pastry. It is a little bit intimidating to get started. I'm not saying you're going to get it right off the bat, but once you learn how to work this, it is incredibly versatile and a lot of fun to play with.
We're talking with Lori Skelton. She is our in-house foodie here at WPR. We've been learning about choux pastry all week long, and it's been so much fun. You've been experimenting, and as you experiment, we benefit from that because you bring it into the WPR kitchen, and then you stick around and ask people for feedback.
It's impossible to make just one churro or one cream puff. You have to make a batch of these, darn it all. And so, yes, we did have a lot of fun going through batches of wonderful pastry things this week.
And here's the one we have up on the Central Time Facebook page and at WPR.org. This is one you brought in. You did cream puffs, but you did double chocolate mini cream puffs. So chocolate, the double, the filling, chocolatey, and the puff itself chocolatey.
I mentioned the Great British Bake Off, which is a show I'm mildly obsessed with. And a couple of years ago, they had an eclair challenge, and one of the contestants made a chocolate choux pastry filled with mango cream. And I thought, well, I have to try this. They did not put her recipe on the internet. I don't know if they've published it in a book, but I suddenly went hunting chocolate choux pastry. Not many people do it. If you go online and look for chocolate eclairs or chocolate cream puffs, you will see a regular eclair or a regular cream puff doused in chocolate sauce. I had to do some digging before I was able to find a couple of examples of chocolate choux pastry. So I put together my own version of chocolate choux pastry based on a bunch of recipes. And then the chocolate whipped cream is actually a milk chocolate whipped cream that comes from the woman who started the Chocolat chain of stores. I think her name is Alice Medrick. And she has a way to make white chocolate, milk chocolate, or dark chocolate whipped cream. So we use the milk chocolate whipped cream in our cream puffs this week. And based on the comments I got, This is worth trying out. They weren't too heavy, they weren't too sweet, but everybody said they were a really good balance.
Lori, I prefer to prep all my ingredients beforehand. I think the word is mise en place.
Mise en place?
Type of cook. Yes.
Mise en place?
I'm a mise en place type of cook. And I have to say, I'm wondering if that would work in my advantage in the situation.
Absolutely. This is one time where I know a lot of people laugh when they see a cooking show and all the little ingredients are set out in the bowls and you just lift and dump and lift and dump. That actually is a lot of common sense when it comes to any kind of cooking, but especially for something like this when you are having to be so quick on time with getting your flour incorporated. You don't want your water and butter to be sitting there over boiling while you're then measuring out flour. Then again, you don't want your choux paste to get too cool while you're measuring out your eggs. So yes, if you are a cook that gets all of your ingredients ready to go before you even start, if you have your baking sheets out and ready to go, if you have the piping tip already in your piping bag, you are going to have an easier time working with choux pastry. And if you're not one of those cooks, again, this would be a great way to practice it, because it's not that many ingredients, but there is a time element.
Timing is of an essence.
Absolutely.
We're talking with WPR music host and in-house foodie Lori Skelton about choux pastry and the wide variety of treats that it can be the base of.
And we want to hear from you on this week's edition of Food Friday at 800-642-1234. Have you ever made your own eclairs or cream puffs or other items that use this kind of choux, that's C-H-O-U-X, dough? Was it easy, hard, success, failure? Do you need some advice? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or do you just love eating cream puffs, maybe at the state fair? Post on the Central Time Facebook page if you want. You can check out Lori's recipe for double chocolate mini cream puffs.
We'll pick up this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're continuing our conversation with WPR in-house foodie Lori Skelton about making your own choux pastries at home.
Have you tried this kind of baking with choux flour, making cream puffs or eclairs or something savory with them? How did it come out for you? What's the secret to success? Or do you have some questions about how to do this? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page, find Lori's recipe. It's an elusive one for chocolate cream puff, double chocolate, actually, mini cream puffs.
And Lori, you were getting feedback all week long from WPR people all around staff, and you were taking copious notes on what people thought of your creations. What were some of the aha moments?
One of the aha moments with the double chocolate mini cream puffs was simply that idea of, you don't want this too heavy. Yeah, we think of that incredible cream puff we get at the state fair, which you have to be kind of slow to eat it, and you do sort of feel a bit stodgy afterwards. I was sitting here thinking I'd have to come up with something that would just hit you in the face with chocolate, but this was one case where double chocolate, pull it back, was actually more flavorful. That said, somebody did suggest that it might be nice if, you know, when you have a cream puff and you dust it with powdered sugar, maybe I could have mixed in a little bit of cocoa powder with powdered sugar and then dusted the cream puffs with that.
Triple chocolate.
Well, I've got a suggestion for how to do triple chocolate on the recipe online. There is a difference between a cream puff and a profiterole. Cream puff is full of whipped cream. Profiterole is full of ice cream in choux pastry. So if you want to go triple chocolate, I'd say do a profiterole. Put your favorite chocolate ice cream inside the chocolate choux paste and then drizzle chocolate sauce on top of that.
Wash down with hot chocolate. We'll
there
go to
go.
Our callers now. Keith is with us in Green Bay. Keith, hi.
Good afternoon. I make choux pastry. I found a recipe years ago, and it's called a French recipe called gousers.
Yes.
I make them quite small. I only pipe them about the size of a quarter, but they puff up to about the size of a 50-cent piece. And then I fill them with things like salmon mousse or a little liver pate, kind of a little filling. And I find that it's a very nice, savory appetizer.
What kind of liver? What kind is chicken liver?
I just basically take like a Braunschweiger liver and mix it up with cream cheese.
So we had, that's so funny that you say that, Keith. We had a savory one that Lori made with a crab filling, and multiple people recommended.
One person recommended
Braunschweiger. Or liverwurst. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
on the same wavelength.
That is so marvelous. And okay, so I'm just curious, Keith, when you found this recipe, what was it about the recipe that really got to you? Why did you want to try this?
I was looking for an appetizer, and although it looks complicated, it's very simple.
Okay.
I found that making that choux pastry, you know, it's so few ingredients. They puff up beautifully. You can have a tray that's, you know, a pyramid of these things, and it looks terribly complicated. But basically, it's just flour and water and eggs, and you beat it, and you pipe it out, and you bake it. I had never heard the tip of puncturing them a little bit so that they release their steam, because I make them so small.
Right.
But then when I would put in, like, the liver with the cream cheese and pipe that in, or salmon with the cream cheese and pipe that in, and then just people just think you're a whiz.
Yeah. Yep. How to impress with minimal effort. Good on ya.
Thanks so much, Keith, for the call.
And you made yours with crab.
Right. I've had gougere for years, but I'd never had them filled until recently. I just love to eat them hot out of the oven, usually with a glass of inexpensive bubbly. But here was a recipe, again, Great British Bake Off, where instead of making a little round puff, you pipe them out into what the creator of the recipe called a barquette, a little canoe. And you cut it in half, and she filled hers with crab salad and then smoked salmon and then marinated shrimp. So today I just brought in just the crab salad for everyone to try. And then I asked everybody, what else would you do? And yes, Braunschweiger was mentioned. Any number of mayonnaise-based salads.
Chicken salad.
Chicken salad, tuna salad, even egg salad, which I wouldn't have thought of with Gruyere cheese.
And you could go a vegetarian way as well.
Somebody suggested make a stew of tomatoes and eggplant. That would be incredible. Somebody else suggested chutneys, perhaps mixed with goat cheese. One person, oh, I love this suggestion, pickled vegetables. I could see on these tiny little golden brown barquettes, one perfect pickled asparagus spear. Perfect centerpiece for a Packer party.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Hazel on the line in Verona. Hazel, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Hazel?
I was making choux.
So you've made it?
Yeah, I've made it before.
But can I ask how old you are, Hazel?
9 years old.
9 years old. Wow, fantastic. What made you want to make shoe?
So I was watching the British baking show.
Yep.
And all of a sudden they came up with shoe. You had to make something with shoe.
And so what did you do with it? What did you fill your it was like a sweet thing that you made?
Yeah, I made it sweet. I love sweet things.
Okay. Now, I've got a question. When you beat in your eggs, did you beat them in by hand, or did you put them in the mixer or the food processor?
If I remember right, we did mixer.
Okay, because I know when I was 9 years old, I would not have had the arm strength to do it by hand. I will say this. When that paste starts getting firm, you really need muscles to keep beating it for 3 to 5 minutes. So good for you for using the mixer. Good for you for using the tools that will make it easier.
And Hazel, thanks a lot for calling in, and good luck. And, you know, drop some by next time you make them.
And pastry, regardless, can be a little intimidating, even specifically what type of flour you use. Mm-hmm. Now, you, with these, you used a different type of flour.
I wanted to experiment. Because they are so versatile, you can get creative with the flour. As I said, I used gluten-free for the churros, and depending on how familiar you are with gluten-free flours, churros are a great way to find out how a gluten-free flour will work. Same thing with the sweeter shoe buns. There again, you can play with gluten-free flours. I wouldn't go a nut flour. That's probably going to be a little bit oily, but you can work with some of the gluten-free flours there. When you get into the savory ones, the gougere that we had today, or if you're going to make the actual towers of pastry, what the French call a croquembouche or a religieuse à la ancienne, actual towers of puff pastry or eclairs, there you're going to want a pastry that's going to be a little bit firmer. So with the gougere today, I actually used bread flour. And I cooked those a little little bit longer, made sure they were nice and crispy and firm to stand up, especially if you are going to have a wetter filling. But here again, you can get as creative as you want in terms of flour, in terms of spices or herbs that you put in. You can have an awful, as Hazel just found out, you can have an awful lot of fun with it.
Let's bring on one more caller. Thank you, Hazel. We'll go next to Dolores in Kenosha. Dolores, hi.
Oh, hi. My goodness. It probably was 25 years ago. My sisters and I figured out how to make choux pastry. And it was so easy. And it's like, why didn't we do this before?
Good.
So for Christmas, we had the family thing. And we're talking 30 people. Now, you can do roasts and all that kind of thing, but it wasn't that kind of group. So what we did was we decided to make a bunch of little choux. And once you make the dough, we scooped it up like a 1 tablespoon scoop and baked all these up. And then we filled them with savory things. And we basically did ham salad, tuna salad, and egg salad.
Great. Dolores, we're just about out of time. Thank you so much for calling. But that's the great thing about these.
Yeah.
They could be an appetizer, an hors d'oeuvre, or make a bunch of them, and it's a meal, and you fill them with different stuff.
And Dolores does bring up a good point. I've been talking about using a piping bag, and if you don't want to go that route, if you don't mind your choux buns looking a little bit ragged, go ahead and drop them by teaspoons full onto your baking tray. You'll be just fine.
It's very versatile.
It is. It is a lot of fun. I am enjoying this particular pastry, and the reason I decided to do this, somebody on staff said, hey, you know what my girls and I did this weekend? We made eclairs. We didn't know you could do that. So I thought, well, if everybody's kids are getting in on it, why not the rest of us?
So we'll make a date this summer. We'll cook up a bunch of our own cream puffs and then go park outside of the state fair and undercut them.
No.
I think that's straight to prison in Wisconsin. It wouldn't be the same.
But keep it in mind for next winter when you are missing a cream puff.
That's true.
Make your own.
Little taste of summer. Lori, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Lori Skelton, classical music host at WPR, one of our in-house food experts. You can find her recipe for double chocolate mini cream puffs and then make them and then eat them. You can find that recipe linked over at the Central Time Facebook page.